I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.
Everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. I think we've got a fascinating show in store for you this evening, and it's going to center around the whole topic of extraterrestrial open contact, some new information, some shocking information. But before we get into that, I would like to give you my current disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And also, what's become a custom on the show for our new listeners is a Hariom mantra by Sri Swami Satchidananda. Kind of gives a nice yoga flair to the program. And I'll ask now that the guys in the booth play that short clip for us.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om. Hari Hari Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari
Om. Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om. Hari Om. Hari
Om. Hari Hari Hari
Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om.
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari Hari Hari
Om. Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om.
Hari 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 Om. Om Hari 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 Om.
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om. Om Hari 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 Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om. Om Hari 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 Om. Om Hari Om Hari Om. Om Hari 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 Om. Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om.
Shanti.
Yes, that was led by Sri Swami Satchidananda, the founder of the Integral Yoga Institute and one of my main spiritual teachers. And for those who are really on a busy life schedule, don't have the time to do meditation, you can pretty much get a couple of good meditations by listening to the ET Yoga Show every other Saturday night. And we typically do this Hari Om mantra. It's also called Japa Yoga, J-A-P-A. And typically at the end of our programs, we also do the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. Meditation being a nice foundational part of most people's spiritual journeys. And for those that are new to ET Yoga, I suggest you may want to grab a paper and pen or pencil. I tend to kind of have the machine gun approach to information and do try to jam a lot of information into the programs. And tonight will be no exception to that. I do know that I've got a number of new friends and listeners tuning into tonight's program, and certainly want to welcome those new listeners and also provide you with some definitions that I find to be quite useful in relation to a lot of the information provided on the program. And the first one of those definitions would be around the term anxiety, and anxiety meaning the energy of excitement but filtered through a belief in something undesirable or unpreferred. The definition of doubt. Doubt is not a lack of trust. It is a total trust in an undesirable or unpreferred reality. You do not need to develop trust since you are always 100% totally trusting in something. You need only to focus your trust on a preferred reality rather than an unpreferred one. Definition of excitement. Excitement is the energy that occurs when one is in resonance with their own higher self. This is a signal from your higher self to encourage you to act more in a particular direction. Excitement can therefore be used as a compass to move and act in the direction that your higher self hopes you will move for your highest joy. And if you follow your excitement constantly, you'll end up fulfilling your life's purpose. Number four, failure. Failure is giving up on your intention. As long as you do not give up your intention, failure does not occur. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is not an action. It is the cessation of stopping of the continuous action of continuously blaming someone for something. Since blaming requires energy and forgiveness is the stopping of this action of blaming, it actually is easier to forgive than to continually be blaming another. So be lazy. Forgive. Hope. Hope implies doubt. It suggests you are holding a belief that there is a significant possibility of not achieving your desired result. Integrity. Integrity is the automatic result of sensing and knowing that you are part of the whole universe. Since the universe is holographic, each part contains the whole. Everything and everyone is really you. When one realizes this, then automatically one treats others with the respect and consideration that they themselves would want to receive. Negative, that which separates or polarizes, as opposed to positive, which unifies and integrates. Positive, that which unifies and integrates and creates oneness, as opposed to negative, which creates separation. Trust. Trust is the same as what you believe. You are always totally trusting in something. There is never a lack of trust. So the only relevant issue here is where are you placing your trust? Try. Try implies you are keeping the back door open for failure. The word try presumes you are believing there is a large possibility of not achieving your goal. Trying to do something is totally different than doing that something. And I'll close with a definition that Bashar uses for the term habit. And basically, on our planet, we typically take the position that a habit is when we become aware that we're doing something. And in Bashar's terminology, it's not the beginning point, it's the end point. Because once you become aware that you have a habit, at that point in the future, you're making a choice, like his definition. I'd also like to share with you a kind of a interesting piece called The Game of Life and Creating Your Own Reality. Imagine you're about to participate in an interactive role-playing game. There are rules in this game that everyone agrees to. What goes up must come down. Day is followed by night. If you touch a flame, it will burn you, etc. And you get to choose the character you play beforehand. Shall I be black or white, Australian or American, male or female? You might even choose to meet up with others in the game, which is tricky because you won't necessarily remember them when you see them. To enter the game, you must be born and become completely helpless. You must forget everything you knew and start all over again. You are given sets of rules by the older players, which you learn as you go along. And after a given time, you are declared an adult by the other players and are set out on your own. The thing is, after a while, you become involved, so completely immersed in the personality of the character that you're playing in this game, that you forgot who you really are. You forgot that you're even in a game, and you begin to believe that the game is all there is. Now, you still get to decide everything that happens to your character, which you do constantly, but as a player who has now totally identified with the character you have chosen to portray, you begin to believe that everything that transpires is happening by chance or fate. And when the character you play goes to sleep, you return to your real self. This is also your opportunity to plan ahead and manifest the character's desires and wishes. And when the character later awakens, it is within the belief that he or she was simply dreaming. Some players, realizing that there has to be more than just this game, will start searching for answers. Some conclude that someone must have invented this game and probably all the players in it. They begin to worship this mysterious someone who obviously must be smarter than they are and invent more rules that they insist were made by the original game creator. The only way to leave the game is called dying, and once this transpires, you remember who you really are and rejoin old friends, some of whom were in the game with you. You may also interact with some of those who were involved with other games and share your experiences. The game, you conclude, was fun, adventurous, and a great learning experience, and you decide to play again, this time in a different setting. One of the interesting points there, I felt, was that this belief that kind of occurs that everything's happening by chance. And as Merlin the Magician would like us to know, that's the critical point that you begin to operate in the fourth dimensional realm, when you appreciate and realize that everything isn't happening by chance, but in point of fact, it's our beliefs, our emotions, our intentions that create our outer reality. And is a perfect mirror and helps us to realize what we actually do believe. And the outer circumstances are not there to punish us, but they're there to actually show us what we really do believe. And now to move on to the heart of the material this evening, which centers around the impact of open extraterrestrial contact. And I'd like to place that in a a context of a 1997 poll that was done by CNN and Time magazine. And in that poll, it was shown that 80% of Americans think that the government is hiding the existence of ET life. 64% said that aliens have contacted humans. 15% they've said that they've have abducted humans. And 37% said they have contacted the U.S. government. Now, that was a poll that was done in 1997. Imagine that, 17 years ago. So if those were the figures 17 years ago, I think we can logically assume that those figures are somewhat higher today. And interestingly enough, Joe Mara at Universal Talk, this is on YouTube, recently did a panel discussion around this whole subject of impact of open ET contact. And the members of that panel included Edgar Mitchell, who was a former astronaut, Simon Parks, who is currently holds an office in the UK, a political office, Alfred Weber, a very excellent journalist, investigative journalist, Jim Dillitoso. And I believe that he's primarily known as an expert with respect to investigating photographs. And he was initially involved, I believe, in the Billy Meier case. And for those that don't know about Billy Meier, his contact from Pleiadians, Jim was on the panel, as well as Tolek, who is the contact for the Andromedan Council. Quite an interesting panel, and part of what I'm going to do this evening is give some of the highlights of information that came forth on that particular interview of this panel, and give the Charles Maxwell Green version of the of that program, and hopefully on ET Yoga here we can take it even out a notch or two with combining some other information. Interesting to note that they started off with Edgar Mitchell, and although he was queried about his direct experiences as an astronaut going to the moon, I think he was the credited with being the sixth human to land on the moon. At any rate, Edgar didn't have anything to offer with respect to direct experience, but he did offer information with respect to close friends of his, close associates in the military, specifically with respect to the Roswell incident, and basically indicating that he did, in point of fact, believe that that incident did happen and that there was an extraterrestrial craft that did crash in Roswell, and I believe that's 1947. And I guess if we want to throw a little ET Yoga spin on that, we can take Bashar's word that, in point of fact, yes, that did happen, and even further, that there was a surviving member of that crash who survived for a few years after. A very interesting point. And also on this panels is Simon Parks, and personally I'm very impressed with this Simon Parks. Simon Parks presents himself as a soul who is one-third Mantis, one-third Alpha Draconian, and one-third human, which makes him a kind of a perfect balance with respect to dealing with a lot of extraterrestrials and extraterrestrial issues. If you check on YouTube and find Simon Parks, I think you'll find some really interesting shows involving Simon. He seems to be really on top of a lot of issues that are going on at the current time. And according to Simon, one of the issues that we're having right now on the planet is that about half the governments are for disclosure of the extraterrestrial presence, and about half the governments are not. And typically, the ones that are kind of suppressing that information tend to be associated with the New World Order groups like the central banking system and the Rothschilds, etc., and certain factions of the U.S. government. So this is where he placed the current situation. And it was interesting to note that on this particular panel, nobody's questioning whether there are ETs or not. It's not a question of if, but when there's going to be a public contact at some point. And some interesting information came from Tolik, who apparently years ago worked together with Wendell Stevens. And Wendell Stevens has some amazing YouTube videos as well. But the point that Tolik was raising, that a long time ago he had asked, I guess sometime in the late 90s, he had asked Wendell Stevens about his contact experiences and how many races he thought were currently visiting here. And the answer that Wendell Stevens gave was about 125 different alien races. And then sometime, I guess in the 2000s, he was speaking with Bob Dean. And if you don't know about Bob Dean, Bob Dean's another amazing personality. He's been interviewed at Project Camelot. Fascinating information from Bob. Bob openly states that he has taken a ride in extraterrestrial spacecraft and had several contacts, direct contacts with extraterrestrials. And when he asked Bob Dean about his experiences, he was in the former military as well. Bob apparently told him that most of the generals and admirals that he was involved with were aware of about four or five different races that looked just like us. In fact, you probably wouldn't immediately notice any difference from them if they were sitting in the same room. Kind of an interesting point. Also, interesting is that the Andromedan Council that Tolik is connected with, he asked them currently how many extraterrestrial races were observing us, and they mentioned to him that there's about 500. Interesting stuff. And, of course, Alfred Weber, he's one of my favorite investigative journalists. He basically gave the what he calls the positive future formula, and the positive future formula is equals positive future equals positive timeline plus unity consciousness. And I guess this is directly related to what's being considered waves or broadcasting waves of unity consciousness that's coming from the center of the galaxy. And even according to apparently some the newest Russian scientists have stated that the core of the Earth now, which used to be a blue plasma, is changing to a new substance. And this happened in 2012. That's some new information, I believe. And that our whole solar system is going through a rise in frequency. And that's, research that you could do into latest discoveries by Russian scientists. I think another fascinating fact that came out was that since December 21st of 2012, crime has gone down in every country. Violent crime is up slightly, but overall, crime is down since December 21st, 2012. And I also thought it was interesting from Jim Dilatoso's point of view. He kind of thought that it was the extraterrestrials that were keeping the open contact sort of in the wraps or on the waiting line, in his opinion, he also does a lot of investigative research with abduction scenarios and cases. And he felt that from the ET perspective, they were absolutely amazed and mystified as to why humans hadn't developed a lot faster. An interesting point. And from their perspective, he kind of felt that they were not interested, the ones he was studying, were not really interested in open contact at this time. I find that was really kind of fascinating. He also noted that one of the special qualities that he discovered about humans was that apparently these ETs didn't have the ability to really learn the way we do. They had more of a kind of a hive mentality. And fortunately, because there were other members on the panel that I think threw some light on why Jim had his perspective, and that is that most of that abduction scenario, or probably all of it, was with the Greys. And they certainly are a hive personality. In fact, from what we understand from Bashar, the majority of them are actually clones. There's only about, I think, about 2,500 or so actual Greys still in existence, and I believe they're on Phobos or something, one of the moons of Mars. They threw some light, but I thought it was very interesting that from the Grey perspective, they weren't really interested in, this whole open contact thing. Well, I'm not surprised, although there's lots of other groups like Pleiadian, Sirian, Andromedan, Arcturian that are very, very interested in this whole concept about open contact. And in fact, we keep on a weekly basis, there's always news reports of some very interesting stuff going on. Last week in West Virginia, for example, there were 3 football-sized UFOs that were spotted by a lot of people, and they were flying at about 500 feet above the ground. So not too much question about what it was. In relationship to that, I got the impression from reading the report that it was probably a similar craft to the one that we are told flew over the whole state of Arizona in 1997, which is called the Phoenix Lights. And those were, according to Bashar, the Yael. And that triangular craft, kind of a boomerang shaped, was about a mile in width and witnessed by tens of thousands of people. Interesting stuff, I thought, also coming from Tolik with respect to cosmic heritage. According to Tolik, the planet Dakota, he believes that that's where his descendants come from. That's where his cosmic heritage comes from. And it's one of the 4 planets in the Taygeta system in the Pleiades. And according to him, the Native Americans, the Lakota, the Dakota, Apache, and Comanche are all they're kind of transplants from the Pleiades, so they have a Pleiadian heritage. I thought that, interestingly enough, that the topic for that panel was called Impact of Open ET Contact. There really wasn't much information with respect to the actual impact of ET contact. But certainly, as we throw a Bashar spin on this a little bit, information that we get from Bashar is that the Shalanaya will be the first to have open public contact with us. And the Shalanaya is an Esasani word, which means those who will come first. And the Shalanaya call themselves the Yael. And they will remind us of our true histories. And I think that's going to be very important because certainly the human race has been kept in the dark with respect to our true histories and our extraterrestrial heritage. And according to Bashar, there'll be another civilization that will have open contact with us. And the third one will be the Esasani, which Bashar is a member of. And the Esasani now are called the Shekani because in their world, the frequency of their dimension moved up a level. So they're now six-dimensional previously from the fifth. And so thus, the Esasani or Bashar's group would be the third group that will have contact with us. And that's information from Bashar. Bashar finds it relevant to mention that his ship is about 2,150 miles above Sedona, and it was 2,500 miles. And he says that it's an indicator of contact occurring, that, 350 miles difference is a lot, so things are accelerating. And I guess the more he says that people become tuned to this vibration, the faster it happens. And he thinks that you might feel like cleaning out some of the toxification in your life and let go of things that don't belong to this process. He suggests to keep things simple and clean. He thinks that manifesting is not something you do or that you pull from somewhere else to you. It is the harmonization with that which is already here. In other words, matching the frequencies. And as we've said many times on ET Yoga, you can't experience something in physical reality unless you're a frequency match for it. You know, thus, what you believe is. Thus, what you believe is a frequency match for what you experience and vice versa. He thinks that it's a very exciting time that you don't want to miss, and that it's very freeing and expanding. He also states that we are, clearly simultaneously connected to other experiences in other places in the universe, but for the moment, we all come from Earth. Sometimes we kind of have this impression as Earth person that we're really from somewhere else, but in point of fact, we're all having simultaneous incarnations, and at the moment, we're Earth-based. Now, Bashar does give a timeline for what he calls the open contact scenario, and he states that in between, actually, this current time frame that we're in now, between 2015 and 2017, that everybody on this planet will know for a fact that there is extraterrestrial life. Now, he doesn't get specific. He doesn't say anybody's going to land. He doesn't say anything about the how. So you can't read too much into it other than the fact that it's still a big statement because the majority of the people on the planet will know ET life exists by 2016, and many secrets will be revealed. Now, according to Bashar, actual first contact, will, as he reads the energy now, is most likely to occur sometime between 2025 and 2033. And he also states that there are beings that are trained in ET contact incarnate onto the planet of contact. And this is to gather experiences and knowledge and gauge the style of communication that is most appropriate. And this opening up of dialogue, such as what Bashar does through the channel Daryl Anka, is how to make contact in a very unobtrusive way. And because this style does not insist that you accept what is said, nor does it force, their presence upon us, but allows us the information to be the primary importance. And certainly if you listen to any of the channelings by Daryl Anka of Bashar, you will notice that there's no specific purposeful intent there to prove that Bashar is an extraterrestrial, because the point of the channeling is the information. And Bashar does give what I call some shocking information with respect, though, to this whole abduction scenario or the abduction program. Bashar calls it the detainment process. But he indicated that about 47% of the U.S. population is involved with this abduction program. I find that just absolutely staggering. I previously thought that there's maybe a few hundred thousand people that maybe were involved with this program, but 47%, I mean, that is, to me, huge. If you think about that one for a while, I mean, what we're talking about here is that almost half the population has been aboard some craft, had some experiments done, returned, don't remember it, and continue along functioning in their life as best as possible. And apparently, the Greys have been successful in creating five hybrid civilizations, and actually the Esasani, which Bashar is part of, was one of them. And so thus, we are the parents, actually, of the Esasani. Bashar, actually, according to his information, comes from a time in our future. Interesting stuff, I think. Now, this craft that flew over the state of Arizona, which is known as the Phoenix Lights, that's apparently the group that's going to be having first open contact with us. And they're called the Yael. And according to Bashar information, the Yael are descendants of Earth humans, the most closely related to us through the hybridization program. And they were aboard the spacecraft seen as the Phoenix Lights on March 13, 1997. And the Shekani, formerly the Esasani or the Sasani, call them the Shalanaya, which means those who will come first. And the first extraterrestrial beings to meet us will be the Yael. And one reason they will visit us first is that they have an energy signature and physicality that is very similar to us, because they are our descendants. In addition, apparently our human collective consciousness invited them to be our first visitors, and they will come from a future and parallel timeline. And I'm going to repeat that because I think it's the only way that it's possible, apparently, that they're going to be helping connect Earth's parents with some of their offspring. And so they're going to come from a future and parallel timeline. Now, that also kind of interestingly connects with the whole Gray thing, because according to Bashar, the Grays actually were kind of like a future version of humans from a parallel timeline, and obviously had to have some compatible genetics in order to be actually have things work out with using humans and Grays to create hybrid civilizations. Now, at first glance, we would not necessarily notice the difference between ourselves and the Yael. They are only as different from us as the varied races are from each other here on Earth. We would likely feel that they have something different within their consciousness when communicating with them. They have a higher frequency, more joyful and enthusiastic. And it'll be easy for us to get comfortable with the idea of direct contact with extraterrestrials through meeting the Yael. Now, Bashar is a guide to the Yael Society in the same way he is with us. He assisted them in their reclaiming their connection to their Earth human parents. And he is helping us remember who we truly are and that we have children among the Yael. As the Yael return, they will share our true history and the expansive knowledge of where we came from and how we got here, which I think is really paramount. Now, in a different interview, I'm going to quote some information that directly from Bashar, and it goes like this. In what you may call an ancient time, within what you would call the Lyran system, from there came those beings you understand to be the Anunnaki. And many of you already know this. And they, in many ways, are to some degree involved in the genetic manipulation of those species that ultimately created the reptilians from the dinosaur stock and your human species, as well as many others from some of the indigenous stock on your planet. The idea being, in that sense, of course, that the reptilian species derived from that stock was removed from your planet, where the human species was not, due to various changes and shifts going on within the agendas of the politics, so to speak, just for now, euphemistically, of the Lyrans, of the Anunnaki, as you call them. And after idea also, and during this time to some degree, but after the idea of the destruction of natural causes of the Lyran system, when there was the diaspora into other star systems, such as some of the Orion systems and the Pleiadian systems, and so forth, of what you would call in the past the Anunnaki. Then it can also be understood that certain factions of the Anunnaki, in arriving in the Orion systems, did continue the idea, besides the ones that were isolated on Earth, of giving in certain directions and ultimately led them to self-destructive ways. And in some of those factions that experienced these self-destructive ways within the ancient Lyran Anunnaki systems, you would find that the destructions they caused upon themselves is what ultimately allowed them to become what you understand them to be today, this faction called the Greys. And in that sense, therefore, the Greys and the reptilians are still cohesive, in that the Greys, as the ancient Anunnaki created them, and the Greys and you are still cohesive, in that the ancient Anunnaki, they created you. In that sense, they are trying to gain back what they lost, in that sense, as the ancient Anunnaki, to render themselves to some degree into that state again by utilizing the genetics that they have already spliced within you based on their own original genetic patterns, which makes you compatible. And thus, they are attempting in the creation of the hybrid races such as our own to regain the idea incarnationally of what might be, in their eyes, considered to be some of their former status, and certainly glory. But this is only one faction in that sense. Some of what some individuals in some of the abduction scenarios have recognized as tall, muscular Nordic types are actually some template recreations of the idea of the ancient Anunnaki bodies in what your ancient people referred to as the gods. In that sense, of great stature and build, but these are not in any way, shape, or form the idea of what you would call absolutely sentient beings with free thought. They are to some degree the idea of puppet templates to allow them some idea of creating certain genetic resonance patterns that would help them fulfill their particular agendas in that level, and regaining whatever is possible for them to regain, though it will never be exactly the same. Interesting, Bashar has stated before that the Greys are interdimensional more than extraterrestrial, and that they are a future version from an alternative timeline. And they basically are going extinct, and they've lost their ability to reproduce. And from what I understand, most of the Greys are clones. Now, according to Alex Collier and the Andromedan information, the Greys themselves have participated in all wars of enforcement declared by the reptilian alliances and have been attributed with three accidental extinctions in the last 10,000 years, and they are under investigation for excessive genetic manipulations of at least two races, and the Earth race being one of them. And according to the Andromedans, there are like 21 other star systems that are having a lot of problems with the grays, similar to what has been happening here. So just to be, you know, try to be totally objective here from an Earth perspective, from many sources we get the info that the grays are kind of like gophers for the Alpha Draconians. And they've been integrally involved in enslaving the human race for at least the last 6,000 years, which goes back to the point made in the panel discussion by Jim Dilatoso that he thought that the Greys were amazed that we hadn't progressed faster based on our amazing DNA. But it was pointed out to him by Simon Parks and Alfred Weber and Tolick that in point of fact, part of the reason for the slow development here on Earth is due to the fact that the Greys and the Alpha Draconians specifically have been, and Anunnaki interests have been involved in enslaving the human race and basically controlling every level of life here on this planet. And apparently, the Greys, you know, have succeeded in creating a hybrid Grey and human life form, and the future version is the Yayal, and the later a Shekinah. So I just want to be fair here that I think when the Yayal arrive, that certainly, you know, these topics are going to be explored and discussed, because you know, it's not all good news from my point of view concerning in the whole abduction scenario with the Greys. I mean, there's certainly this aspect of that apparently those who are involved in this process have agreed to this at some point, either in between lives or incarnations. But in point of fact, and to my way of thinking, an abduction is an abduction. And it's a crime by anybody's standard. Yet at the same time, like anything else in the universe, there's a positive aspect to any potential negative scenario. And I also really like what Alex Collier was taught by the Andromedans, and he says that when you come in contact and you are standing before an extraterrestrial or extraterrestrials, you stand yourself square. And you bow, never taking your eyes off of them, and you say, "It is the manner and custom when entering my space that permission be asked." And you say it very clearly, because what you are doing is you are declaring your sovereignty and you are declaring your space. And he says, "Yeah, all right," because basically we're not that well thought of, so it's important to do something like this. In point of fact, we are well thought of with respect to our DNA, but clearly in contact with the Greys, we're not so well thought of, or the Alpha Draconians. So he says that you kind of have 10 seconds to make a good first impression, and it is the manner and custom when entering my space that permission be asked. And we would have to say it verbally, and of course they would probably respond telepathically. And if we didn't say that, then there's always the possibility that your space would be violated. And according to him, the Greys, or Daos, would absolutely violate that space. And I would also like to provide some information that comes from a Dr. Strager that he gives kind of a signs of alien abductions. And the signs are this, that the mysterious onset of illness, including insomnia, loss of appetite, nausea, headaches, rash, or fatigue. Second, the nagging sensation of having lost a period of time out of your life. In other words, you know, you're kind of traveling from A to B, and it takes 3 hours, but it took 5 hours. And you can't quite explain what happened in those other 2 hours. Number three, complete memory loss. Number four, the mysterious appearance of scars or bruises or puncture marks, burns or missing hair, things that might suggest a medical examination by aliens. Five, recurring dreams, some common images including extraterrestrial worlds or landscapes or crystal cities. Six, recurring daytime images. Common ones are aliens, UFO, or extraterrestrial scenes. So he suggests that if you have experienced two or more of these symptoms, he suggests or advises you to look in your phone book and contact the UFO organization nearest you, and they should be able to put you in touch with someone who can hypnotize and regress you to the time of the abduction so that you can remember it completely. Kind of an interesting advice with respect to what potentially could be a large portion of the population. So I'm hoping that on tonight's program you learned some new tidbits here and there, some maybe a different perspective, a different slant, a different take on what's currently happening with the extraterrestrial open contact. I was back in about 2005 or 6, somewhere in there, the head actually of a committee that Bashar asked human from the planet to be involved in the writing of the Open Extraterrestrial Contact Act. The act is has been written in a form of a bill. At this point, it's sort of in kind of in limbo, but who knows when that might come about to come into play. I was very happy to be part of that particular process because it also showed an interest from Earth perspective of wanting open terrestrial extraterrestrial contact with peaceful nations, races from off planet, and I kind of equate these times back to the days of when Christopher Columbus was given credit for discovering America. No doubt a lot of new research indicated that, no, he wasn't the first, but definitely that was the big moment that went down in history. And certainly, in my opinion, lots of contact is taking place. From what I understand, there are even parents that are currently being connected with their hybrid children, sort of on a kind of an individual basis here and there, that that information and a lot of that contact information won't be made public for about another 10 years or so. But that would put us up into like 2024, 2025, which starts to be in that window where Bashar thinks that the highest probability for a public open contact will take place. I know as many of our listeners probably hope, and I do too, that this open contact took place yesterday. And certainly there are ramifications of interacting with an extraterrestrial race that none of us will foresee, no doubt. On my point of view, it's going to be an amazing, positive experience. But, of course, there will always be those that will see it as not so positive an experience. I'd like to at this time mention that at my website at etyoga.com, my latest book's available. It's called ET Yoga 2012 and Beyond, The True Nature of Reality. It also covers about 65 different topics. It's not written in the normal book style of a story or fictional or non-fictional novel, but it's basically a collection of about 65 different articles. I think you'll find it quite interesting. I'm getting very nice feedback from those that have contacted me who have read the material. Also at the site, I certainly have programs available there, ranging from meditation techniques, pranayams, yogic breathing techniques, the pillar of light, and spinning techniques as taught by the Pleiadians. To me, this is it all comes down to light in one form or another. You're gaining light from the universe, or you're getting light from the sun. Anything to do with light, that's a good positive. And I'd like to thank everyone for those who have supported the products that I have at the website at etyoga.com. And as usual, I'd like to wish the audience my sincere best towards your attainment of perfect health, full consciousness, and abundance. And in closing, I now ask for the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation.
Share with you the XYZ extraterrestrial meditation. First, you need to get really relaxed, either lying down or sitting comfortably, or even standing up, whatever is the most comfortable for you. I then suggest taking a couple of deep breaths, and imagine yourself in your perfect place of peace. You haven't a worry in the world, and are just relaxing in your perfect place of peace. Then, imagine the following. Around the area of your heart or solar plexus, just behind that area, is a bright ball of white light. It is a packet of energy that is your essence. This star that you feel inside yourself, this ball of light, now grows and grows and grows in intensity and gets stronger and stronger and stronger until it bursts forth as a beam of light, a laser-like beam bursting out of the front of you and stretches as far as you can imagine infinity to be. Stretching, stretching out as a beam of light beyond the solar system, beyond the Milky Way galaxy, and beyond, going faster and faster and faster all the way to infinity. But it is also elastic, so as it reaches infinity, it slows down and will stop and turn around, and as a solid beam, it will creep back towards you from the far reaches of infinity. Faster and faster and faster and faster and faster until it comes crashing through the center of your body and through you and out your back and all the way to infinity out the back. All the way out, further, further, until it reaches infinity and it returns, but a little faster now. And faster and faster and faster until it too crashes through you out the front all the way to infinity, but it returns even faster now out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front. Back and forth, 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 and out the front and out the back and out the front and out the back and out the front and back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. And let yourself get used to this idea. And then when it gets right in the middle of your body, it crashes out the left side all the way to infinity and back out the right side all the way to infinity and turns and comes back through the center, out the left side and back out the right side and side to side and side to side and front and back 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 until you get used to the idea. And then you have created an X and Y axis. Now another beam goes crashing through your head up all the way to infinity and turns around and comes crashing back through your head and out the bottom and up and down 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 and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side and up and down and back and forth and side to side. And it begins to build, 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 and builds and builds until an infinite number of rays fly out simultaneously to infinity and stay there. You are suspended on beams of light, and you are stabilized at infinity. You hang there for eternity at infinity. Then you start to notice little bits of pulses, symbols, and signals, like a web that you are in the center of. bits of information coming and going from every dimension and every space and time that exists. Every doorway and every gateway and forms and ideas and messages and communications like a giant matrix. You feel the ebb and flow of the infinite possibilities from every space and time, from front and back and side to side and up and down, clickety-clack, 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 clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clickety-clack. Now send out one large pulse on every line outward and receive one large pulse coming back like a heartbeat. Boom, 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 boom. And now you're starting to sense a larger infinite mass mind behind this heartbeat, this pulse. It's like a gigantic awareness, one soul, one mind. You are suspended in the center of eternity. Boom, 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 boom. Now, with every heartbeat, a new breath, a new awareness, a new perspective, a new experience, a new sensation, a new dimension, a new galaxy, forever, forever, new, new, new. And now all the beams expand until you are surrounded in a sea of light that is becoming more transparent until it is like a bubble, but you can still hear it. Boom, 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 boom. You can feel the seed of all that is. And as the blood flows from your own heart, as the seed of the infinite of all that is, on that pulse you are connected from every direction and any direction simultaneously. And every time you remember your heartbeat, you will feel connected to this heartbeat. Be in your perfect place of peace and feel your heartbeat. Now, take a deep breath and feel refreshed, feel loved, and feel energized.
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.